June 2nd, 2022, is the Wild for Pedro show.
So the people that on you actually working on the job, or had he done this before previously, would be where he'd gotten up and left the piano and left you so to speak holding the bag.
Well, he just started that on the job.
He just started on the job. How did you feel about that when he first did it?
Well, I started looking around for him the first time he did it. After that, I got used to it, you know, and I just tried to hold up till he got back.
Why do you think he did it?
I don't know. He said he wanted to hear it, and he said he wanted to hear the band. Like, when he did that, he was in the audience himself, and he was listening to the band. And then he come back, you know, he got something out of that thing. You know?
I used to get the biggest kick out of the way he'd do this little shuffle dance on the side, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to see that myself, you know? I couldn't see
it. Did it ever occur to you to pull your horn away from your mouth and walk over and stand behind him and then he threw me off as I'm over in shadow there?
Yeah, I should have done it, man. I wanted to see it myself. Like, it was so interesting. Everybody was talking about it. And every once in a while, I'd open up one eye and peep at it, you know? He was really enjoying it, you know, he was getting a big kick then.
Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Thursday. Yep. I got all flights were canceled. Watt got all the joint. But luckily, Howard, we got to give respect to, and my guest, Baird with me. Baird. That's terrible English. We start off the show with John Coltrane talking August Bloom in 1958 about Thelonious Monk dancing when they were doing gigs. And then Hush Drops with Tamara. Welcome aboard, John San Juan.
Hello, Watt. Good to see you. Yeah.
We get it. Okay. John, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, earliest. Yeah, man.
And it's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions and no wrong answers.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, I was born in right at the end of the 60s, like right before Christmas, the 69. So, you know, that when I was a little boy, just, man, there was music everywhere, you know, and, you know, my parents just always had the radio on and had records playing. So, yeah, my earliest memories were just going through their collection and pulling out anything that had a cool looking cover. That's what I remember starting with.
Yeah, cool. Let me try to sum it up. Your earliest musical recollection is looking at records with bitchin' covers.
Yes, absolutely. And the cover was sort of the, you know, that was the enticement, you know, and I specifically remember Sgt. Pepper, just all those colors, like, well, this has got to be cool.
Well, let me ask you this. Your opinion on Gatefold.
Oh, I love Gatefold. I need it.
Both barrels.
Yeah, you know, I haven't, you know, I haven't had to clean weed in a long time, but, you know. Gatefold is, got a lot going for it, you know.
Yep. Now, in the pad you grew up, was it Chicago?
I lived in Kansas City then.
Oh, okay. Charlie
Parker. Yeah, until I was about 10. And then in New Orleans.
Well, let me ask you this. In the pad you grew up, or these pads, was there musical instruments?
There were not musical instruments.
Okay, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
The school thing. Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
We had, when I was in elementary school, like kindergarten and all that, we had a music class, and you know, my parents told me there was some story where the teacher called and complained that I was making fun of the song, that, you know, like Santa's Little Helper or something like that. All right, well, this guy's opinionated. He's obviously got standards, so we better get him an instrument, you know.
Okay. Cause and effect,
Right, and then, yeah, high school in New Orleans, I played in the jazz band, which was, that was just straight up awesome.
What machine, what instrument?
I was playing guitar in the jazz band.
Oh, okay. Now, only taught through school, or did you have a teacher on the outside?
Well, I was self-taught on the instrument, I'm left-handed, and my folks got me, you know, with the best of intentions, they got me a right-handed guitar for, you know, like my 11th birthday, and I didn't care, you know.
Did you ask for the guitar, or was it their idea?
It was their idea. You know, sometimes, you know how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. My pop.
You can, yeah. You know what your kids need, you know.
Yeah, my ma, she wanted me. She said she made me, for a little while, take tap dance lessons in Virginia because she said my coordination was fucked up and it kept me from falling down as much.
So, how old were you?
I don't know, like 7.
Oh, yeah. Did it help?
I don't know. let me ask you this. Was it the Jimmy thing? You know, Jimmy could play. He was left-handed, right? But especially in those days, so he learned how to even play upside down, right? Without restringing.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have known that then, but yeah, so I learned upside down, and that's how I play to this day.
Wow.
Guitar, bass,
I'll tell you this. You know, Kay, Black Flag, she played bass. She's got a solo album out, and she thought the happening hand was supposed to be the fretting hand. So she played right-handed, even though she was left-handed. She didn't know the plucking hand was supposed to be the strong one.
Oh, right, 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 because of your meter and all that. Yeah.
That's a trip. It, you know, look, we all come from different places, and then we arrive to where we're spieling with each other now.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, tell me more about, so you're actually playing it upside down.
Playing it upside down.
Albert King, I think, did that.
Albert King, yeah. Yeah, Dick Dale, I think. Yep. Yeah, there's a couple. There's a few. Playing it upside down, and then, you know, had jazz band in high school, had a really cool teacher, learned all kinds of, you know, really crazy chords, just kind of Steely Dan chords, you know.
Yep. Denny Diaz or something, right?
There. Yeah, and you'll take that stuff with you forever. You know, it's, you know how it is. Anything you learn at any stage of your musical life, it's always kind of, it's in there. It's in your hands.
You know what? I got kind of a philosophy. And anytime you play, you're invested in the next time you play.
I couldn't agree more, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, what about, now I'm not talking about graduation, but in the afternoon, after school, the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band, did you do that?
I did, yeah. I had some friends. Some of my best friends were also players. We were all misfits, so, and that was our whole social life, was just getting together to play.
Who's Pat?
Never mind. Always the drummers.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Yeah, I had a guest on it. I said the same thing because he's the dude in the rear with lots of gear.
Yeah, you know, my wife's a drummer. So, you know, we've decided, you know, with the kids, you know, if either of them ever, you know, goes that way, well, look, you know, this is, we've signed on for this. You know, we got to find a way to, you know, have the pad.
Yeah, absolutely. And was music your connect?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you may feel the same way. A lot of my friendships to this day are sort of, that music was the initial bond.
Absolutely. You know? In fact, I call music a lifeline.
It absolutely is, yeah.
Okay, what about, okay, the gigs you did at school were like kind of recitals or?
Yeah, we played Jazz Fest. That was cool.
Okay, would you, let's back up a little bit. First album you bought with your own money.
Oh, with my own money. That was Tommy by The Who.
Oh, yeah, the opera. And first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was Elton John at the Chicago Stadium.
Elton John.
1976.
Chicago, you mean the one on Clark?
Oh, you know, I'm a child of divorce, so yeah, I was up here in summers, but yeah, so yeah. Elton
John. Yeah, because there's another stadium too, White Sox, right?
Oh, God, so yeah, White Sox is what, Comiskey Park, right, Cubs, Wrigley, obviously. So I guess, yeah.
There was a club there I used to always play called Cabaret Metro.
Yes, of course. And, I saw you play at Double Door once.
A lot of Double Door, Milwaukee, right?
Yes, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah. And, I did a lot of gigs there, and I did a lot at Cabaret Metro. And get this, John, I was conceived in Chicago, so.
Right on, man.
My mom told me that. I was helping the Stooges do that Weirdness record. And my mom said, you know, she grew up in Wyoming and shit, but it was a coal town. And when they closed it down, they had to move. And she moved to Peoria. And I don't think the coast people understand, but Chi-Town is the big Midwest town.
Oh, it's absolutely, yeah, very much so.
So she moved up there. She's told me the address. I borrowed Steve Albini's, it was recorded.
Yeah.
I rode up there, and I got on the leash. I said, Ma, it's here. Michael Watt, you were conceived there.
That's incredibly cool. Yeah, we recorded Electrical. That's, I feel like that's the best studio.
Also, Bob Weston, good guy.
Yeah, best studio on the planet as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he's really cool people, Steve Albini.
They got a good bedside manner, right?
Right. I conked there. I didn't use a tail. I conked with his cat. He's playing a poker.
That's right.
Look, I want to play Psychic Space.
Please.
I'm satisfied the earth will shift tomorrow, just like it did today and yesterday. The house next door seems closer than I know it used to be. They're telling me it's always Psychic Space.
stare docili senza noia, che il vento torni a gonfiare le nostre vene.
Thank you. hamster life's dream of high definition. Boil hamster quite soon for a feast you impart. Deep frying some shells, updating their profile. Dig tunnel by night to places of safety. We'll make a video call when ceilings are falling. Paris still in India, the rent were fixed before me. All we had time, vacuum food for TV. Tell me when, tell me when, tell me when. Grace, expert in an instant, shortcut to the chase, forest green leading ace. Tie lines from Lockerbie Moor to Lower Manhattan, till we sink below the waves of buried black mustaches. Homeless and gainful employed, losers lost to the shore. DNA on parade for the rage. Raise your hands for the continental wave. Turn on the hysterics for old men without merit. Make walls rise where your money goes to die. And when you're prompted, way beyond wanted. One lunatic acting alone, one lunatic loving his home, one lunatic PayPal in sight. I can't tell you the price, it's an antique device. Bob Nowak's home from the hill, Bob Nowak issued a bill. His leadership must be confirmed, it is worth the return, it is worth the return. That city is gone, just rubble and sunshine. Time is retooled, six governments rule. We'll make a video call for buttons and Botox. We were an excavation all done, Ohio fixed it for me. All alone we have time, Jandy sneers on TV, says against the defense of Copeland. The silicone fixes, just Kitchener's breeches. Feast your eyes, seems the robots up and died. Feeling affronted, come on, blame the unwanted.
Pedro show that chunk of music and start off with Hush Drops with Psychic Space. And then we had Ben Shemmy, The Eye, Northern Job, Brand New, Sundown, Chat Pile, Slaughterhouse, Argo out of Barcelona with Prehistorico. Yeah, lo siento. Puppet Midnight from England with Woodland Fire Destroying Bird's Nest. Stop Corstephine Hill from Puppet Midnight. Fuck, some of these tiles are hard. Skullcaster. Yeah, this is Chris Cohen out of Texas with Baylock's Keys. Obama's printing around the D.C. area with Makeup Mind Medium Salsa. Coughlin, Song of Coaken. Then the Wedding Prototype, probably at Quinn's house, late 1984, from Treacherous Jaywalkers, which features Charlie Hayden's boy, Josh Hayden. And then Rubber O Cement with Acarius Lumdricodius Interlude. And finally, Divine, Hush Drops. Okay, can you remember the first school gig you did?
Oh, we did an assembly, and I swear, all I can remember about it is it had something to do with all the, like, sort of Nancy Reagan era, just say no stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was not saying no at 16, but, I don't know if many of the people in the auditorium were, but, that was sort of the premise that we were, you know, playing under.
They're using the gatefold sleeves to clean them out, though.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, and some albums got more action than others, you know. Yeah.
Right, right. But would you call that gig a success? Now, how big, it was a big ensemble, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of horns, drums, bass, and guitar.
Horns! That's why everybody who wasn't a horn was in the fucking rhythm section. Piano, guitar, you know, of course, bass and drums. Yeah, because they were so fucking loud. Amplifiers changed all that.
Well, yeah, and you know, so it's funny. That's like the first place I heard, like, Naima and a lot of songs Coltrane. Like that we were playing arrangements
you
of.
You guys played Naima?
We played Naima, yeah.
Oh, man. So what'd you do, like the McCoy Tyner parts?
I guess I was playing them on the guitar, yeah.
He did make a record with Kenny Burrell, and he did do a gig, I think maybe the Monterey Jazz Festival with Wes Montgomery, but, oh, man, that's bitching. So the first gig, it was a blur, but you think it was a success?
It had to have been good, because I know, you know, I got hooked, right? You know,
You get bit.
You get bit, yeah, and it's like whether it's, you know, playing someone's backyard party or
sure,
what have you, yeah.
Pedro, we call those keggers.
Yes, yes. So you know, that was also part of my high school experience. Is we definitely you know, played a kegger or two.
Well, you know this band where you pracked at the drummer's pad? Did that band have a name?
No, we never needed one, you know, just...
Because you never did a gig?
I think we might have played a talent show or something, and so we probably, you know, I can't remember what we would have called ourselves, but I bet it was something pretty stock, if I'm being honest, like, you know, Destroyer.
Let me ask you about the material. Was it copying records, or was it original?
Oh, we were doing hard rock, classic rock, heavy metal, the stuff that we liked, and so we were absolutely playing covers in high school.
But was there a point when you wrote your first song?
There was. I came up to Chicago and, you know, joined a band when I came up here and was just kind of playing guitar and still had that. Well, I play the guitar, but somebody else's songs come from wherever. You know, I didn't make the connection that you could write your own songs,
music
really.
Music can be a means of expression. You know what I'm saying? I never knew that, too. It was just something I did with D. Boone to be with him. And then I found out music can be a means of expression.
Yeah, right. It does, yeah. It starts with the thrill of bonding and just, you know... The thrill of performing, and next thing you know, you realize, oh, I got something to say.
John, what I'm trying to relate is like copying songs off records. It was like building models, you know, kind of looked like the real thing. But then when I saw, I saw the bags, I saw Punk Gig, and it was like, wow, they need to say something.
Oh, so the bags was sort of your eureka moment.
See.
With writing, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, because I only wrote one song as a pre-Minuteman reactionary guy. It was called Mr. Bass King of Outer Space, and it was about playing some kind of bass solo where everybody was blown off the stage. And obviously, I had issues. There was a lot of hierarchy with arena rock bass.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, and I don't stand for it. I play bass in a lot of bands, actually. So,
when did you get on bass?
You know, I guess somebody must have asked me to. You know, it was in my late 20s, I think it was a thing where, well, somebody's got to play the bass. Where some people were getting together, and like, Well, I could, you know, I could pick, well, like, just.
Somebody's got to fucking get rid of the trash, right? Somebody's going to pick up. Look, what was your first base?
My first base was like a real janky, generic, maybe even homemade, like sort of a copy of a Beetle base.
Oh, them little, yeah, I got what a Hofner Main China one. I always keep it where I'm comped. So if I got to write a song, I've composed so much shit on this. I also did all of this opera I did with Petra Hayden with Charlie Plymell's Planet Chernobyl libretto. Those basses are bitching. And what was your amp? What was your amp?
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember. What did I have? I had something. This is kind of, I still got it. It's a cool amp. It was called a Bassmaster 200. I think Yorkville makes it. It's blue. It's ridiculous. Like
it's
sort
a
of
Bassmaster.
And it's just a little combo amp that I could carry around.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they're loud. They're loud enough.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. So, that's bitching you got into bass. And, did you have any bass heroes?
You know, I mean, I gotta say McCartney's a big one.
Yeah, he's good.
Got John Paul Jones.
He's good. What about on guitar?
Guitar, you know, I like Johnny Marr a lot.
I got to meet him in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a very kind man.
Oh, that's super cool.
He's way into James Williamson.
Oh, who is amazing. You played with James, didn't you?
Yeah, and he's very kind to me.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Did you, I know I'm digressing here.
But you know what? You were doing guitar before you knew about Johnny Marr. So who was your early cats?
Earliest, probably, Jimi Hendrix, Pete Townsend. Yeah.
But acoustic cats? No John Fahey?
Not until much later. You know, and that came along, of course. And similarly, you know, like Nick Drake and Steve Howe and Joni Mitchell and people like that.
You know who can work a guitar and bass pretty well, too, is Jim O'Rourke.
That's correct, yeah. No, I know. I've seen him with Sonic Youth a few times. And he just seemed like one of those guys, like you put anything in his hand and good things are going to happen.
Look, John, we're at the end of the first hour, June 2, 2022, this show, Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two! June 2, 2022, it's the second hour, Watt for Pedro Show.
Everybody's showing off their best side for the photograph. Everybody's standing in their best light on their own behalf. Everybody knows that you've got faces you won't show. And everybody goes home. I gave up the magic and I tried my best to get it back. Found that I'd been reading from the wrong page of your almanac. Everybody knows that you've got places you won't go. Everybody goes home when you close. I would not dare to set these planets free. I would not try to change this history. We'll be right back. everybody's showing off their best side for the
Been doing this show 20 years, 21 years, and I'm still blowing plants. People, we start off the second hour with Plants from Hush Drops. Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Want. Harisima with Enlad Azud. Noemi Bucci, Nothing Is Artificial. If Bawana, solo duet 3 for violin and viol. Brother Amagolis there in Chester, New York. Finally, Hush Drops, one of the guys. People, we are going to be enlightened to what Hush Drops is all about.
Well, that was the big event, that still is the big event in my life, was meeting Joe Camarillo, who was, you know, he and I were the two constants in Hush Drops for, you know, 30 years. And just all of our, just at one point, a bunch of our friends, people in different bands were saying, you know who you got to meet? And they were saying it to both of us. I was about 23 at the time, and already been in bands, and he'd already been in bands. But people kept telling us, yeah, you got to play with this guy. And so I just cold called him, and we started talking about Cheech and Chong. And
me and D. Boone used to listen to those records.
And I knew he was, yeah, I knew he, like, all right, well, this guy's going to be my best friend, even if we sound like shit, you know?
What's your first name? Come on, Bob.
Starts with a B. Yeah. I know this one, man.
You're busted, officer.
Yeah, I love all those sort of Foley effects on those records, all the background sounds that they, like, they could have been Laurel and Hardy.
No, the ones where they had to drive in, try to find the right place to park.
Oh, incredible, yeah. The dudes in the trunk, yeah.
Yeah, break the key, start pissing all over.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you got a rod.
Yes. I got a Mocha Delight. We just,
man, what are you guys doing? We're watching this Indian movie, but it's really boring. That's a fucking test pattern.
Oh, God, Chuck U. Farley, sure, yeah. So I met Joe, and instantly we became best friends. And, you know, and this may have been your experience with Dee, where, you know, you're a musician, but you start playing with somebody, and suddenly, like, oh, I sound way better with this guy than I sound with anybody else.
Well, his ma put me on bass. He jumped out of a tree on me. He thought I was his next door neighbor. He had bad eyesight.
What a happy accident.
Changed my fucking life.
Yeah, right. I ought to jump out of more trees. Yeah. So Joe and I, you know, just his approach to the drums was just a whole different thing. And he was, like, the best singer in any band that I would ever be in. So it, you know, just gave me a certain confidence because of the way
we
sounded
together.
Can you remember
the first Hush Drops gig?
What's that?
Can you remember the first Hush Drops gig?
Yeah. It was at a real divey place. It's not there anymore, on Division Avenue, called Czar Bar. And I feel like we probably rehearsed once, and it was just kind of like, well, again, one of those things, look, we'll show up and something good will happen, which is kind of the confidence that I think that we gave each other, you know, and yeah, through the rest of our...
John, I know what you mean, man. I was scared shitless to do gigs, but I looked over there at D. Boone, man, I'm his left-hand man.
Oh, we'll be fine, yeah. You know, and it's great that, you know, that we can have that effect on each other, you know. It's a very beautiful thing.
Was that first gig a success?
You know, I don't think that we were even all that outstanding, but something about the experience was outstanding.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's what I took away from it, was just like, well, I want to do it again, you know.
And you're saying 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years. You know, he passed away about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Sorry. So we had a hell of a ride together, and it was just really just that combination of music and friendship. The only thing I ever think about it is, like, how lucky I was, you know.
Yep. Grateful, like grateful, right?
Yeah, right. And every day something will happen, you know, something, I'll think of something that seems funny to me, or, you know, I was like, oh, well, you know, there's only one person I could really, like, riff on this joke with. but it's, you know, that's the kind of thing. It keeps them alive, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah. I know what exactly you mean. I want to play this down.
Yeah.
This town doesn't matter what you say. It gets harder every day. This town makes no difference. What I do isn't good enough for you, and you. Thank you.
风可该疼。Die Welten Schutt und Asche liegen. Ein kleiner Funke stiftet an. Eine Flamme kann ein schöner Schein sein und ein Trost. Und dann im Feuer ertrank Vorzeiten eine stolze Stadt. Und mit den Menschen starb das Wort.
for Pedro Show. That chunk of music start off with Hush Drops doing This Town. Then Blood Quartet out of Barcelona, brand new. This Gus is Loaded. A little pun rock. Adam Smith for String and Tins with Horse Frightened by a Lion. Wild Foam from Rock Kalam Bob Moses, Damon Smith duo. St. Louis, not far from Kansas City. Alexandria, after that, brand new Kim Bomb, Kester, out of Berlin. Ray Shin, Pre-Flight Check, and finally, Hush Drops, with Summer People. So, tell me about this stuff that you sent me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you know, so I guess the oldest stuff would be, like, Summer People. That song's about 25 years old. And that's one of those things, you know, like, that song is kind of all drums, and, you know, so I just had the chords and melody, but again, you know, Joe, my partner, just, you know, he hears that and is able to come up with this very, striking, you know, gives the song its whole character, really, his performance.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you would go first. You'd bring the idea and say, hey, what do you feel?
Yeah, I just had, because I figured, well, like, if I start strumming a guitar and singing something, you know, he'd always come up with something that I could have never, you know, so it wasn't like Brian Wilson or something where, like, all right, everybody, here's your charts and, you know.
No, you were, like, creating springboards, launch pads.
Right, yeah, that's just how it worked for us, yeah, and I think, I mean, that's kind of a, I mean, you know, the best bands, I feel like, that's, you know, that's how they exist.
Instead of, like, some realized endpoint and everybody's got to, like, try to make that happen. Instead, you're, like, being provocative and, like, what are you thinking about this? What are you going to do about this?
Oh, yeah, and some people always... just always come up with the goods, you know. Yeah. And Joe was one of those people for sure.
What about This Town?
Oh, This Town, man, that's a good one. Though I say it myself. Yeah, I wrote that in, I was on vacation in like Big Sur.
Cali.
Monterey, Carmel. And it was one of those
PCH,
things like,
Highway 1.
I woke up, I love Highway 1, man. I woke up way before anyone else, and it was a beautiful spring day, and so I just went out, like, I was like, I'm going to try to write, like, one of them, like, Smith songs that's really, like, too many notes in the chords.
And, Johnny Marr.
Yeah, just got a job. I'm going to try to write one of those, and so that's what it was, and again, you know, once you put it in the hands of the band, it went light years beyond what I would have ever dreamed.
Speaking of light years, what about Planets?
Planets, yeah. That was me, you know. I'm 52 now. I think I was 48 when I wrote that, and I was listening to a lot of Gene Clark.
All right.
And, you know, he's just got that beautiful, deep voice.
Absolute.
And I was like, it just kind of pushed me in a certain direction, like, well, what can I sing something in my talking range?
Yeah, yeah.
Do the titles
come first or last?
Usually last, but sometimes first. Sometimes, you know, Summer People was just a title that we thought was funny, like we thought it was like a song that Slade would have or something. Or the Bay City Rollers.
Yeah, but
like,
you'd have to spell it all weird.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
Look, John, we're at the end of the second hour, June 2, 2022, edition Wap Pedro Show, special guest, John San Juan. Hold tight for hour three! June 2, 2022, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Where will your mind go, love? Don't be staying over the beauty guy, I hear you. the side of a pond bear. Make a zoom bed.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour. Hush Drops do an elevator. Then Crane with the Orphan Train. Hot Pursuit of Happiness. New prods from Dullum. Here Comes the World. Brand new from Luca Aaron. Born on Procession. Procession. Born on Procession. Yeah, I don't know. Nels Klein and Elias Sharp. Five Tastes of Sour. I got to play with Nels Klein Saturday in North Adams, Massachusetts. I brought him on for two songs. Red and Black, Red Ballistical. And then We Are Time. And I think it was 18-minute, maybe 20-minute almost, version of We Are Time. Which makes sense, right? It hits the title. And then finally, Hush Drops. The Lummox. Tell me about The Lummox. Is that the Dr. Seuss?
Oh, man, you know, I came up with that melody, and, you know, I was like, well, I don't want to sing this. I think I can just play the melody. We can have a songs that have to have words, right? And we started playing it, and it just had this bull in a china shop quality to it. Like, it just sounded like a big drunk guy knocking shit over, and so it kind of titled itself.
But the same thing, right? You come up with something on the guitar, you show it to the cats, and then they respond.
And then they tell you how it's going to be. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
No, but I like this idea of the starting point instead of like, you know, this is the drill, you know, or whatever the fuck. What about Elevator?
Oh, Elevator. Yeah, man. That was, you know, and that's, I guess I wrote that one a while ago, but, you know, me and my wife had gone... When we were dating, we'd gone to see Stevie Wonder, and, you know, he's got all those, you know, those sort of like, oh, God, I don't know what you would call them, these sort of cascading chromatic ballads where the chords are kind of like a staircase going down.
Right.
And it's got all these songs like that, and I was like, man, that's a really moving effect, and, you know, could I write something like that? And so that was the song. And the idea
was
like...
You know, it's another trippy thing he's got. I think three of his records is just him.
Yes, absolutely. And I think he's a hell of a drummer.
That's what he would start with, I heard. He'd start with the drum part.
Oh, and what a feel, you know. And so, yeah, so the idea was like, let's do like... What would a punk band playing Stevie Wonder sound like? Like... Just kind of easy listening hardcore or something.
Right. An Elevator? Title after?
What's that?
Title came later or before?
Oh, yeah, it came later.
I asked you that question, John, because I have to have a title at the beginning or I don't have any focus.
Well, I noticed that as, you know, when I was a kid and I started seeing, you know, when the Minutemen records started coming out and I'd look at them, I wasn't that young, but I'd look at the covers and, like, I think this title came first, you know, like, you know, political song from Michael Jackson is thing or
which
what
is exactly you. What it was.
Yeah.
I sent it to his management and I never got word back, but I thought if Mike Jackson sang that song, Minutemen would never have to explain themselves again.
All right. He's got a hell of a platform. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to distill it and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, Bob Dylan wrote Public Enemy.
Well, yeah, and you notice that, like, Bob Dylan, too, like, all of those things, like, those title has, where the title is, you know, positively 4th Street or whatever, it doesn't really, it's not directly related to the lyrics, but,
Rainy
you know.
Day Woman number whatever and whatever.
Oh, yes, that is.
And the chorus is Everybody Must Get Stoned.
Right, right. I guess you couldn't put out a song called Everybody Must Get Stoned in the mid-60s, so, you know, he was stealth, you know, reasonably. Elevator, you know, it seemed like, again, the whole thing about, like, you know, a rockin' band playing elevator music.
A little cruise control, huh? Look.
Yes, exactly.
I want to play this. I Had a Room. Set us up.
Oh, I Had a Room. You know, that's the band. Like, we took a few years off because we'd been touring and making records and just kind of we need a little air.
Yep.
And you know, So we took a few years off. We played with other people. And then the first time we came back together, it was like, oh, no, this is how music goes. And these are the people. And this is who you hang with.
It's a lot about people, huh? People ask me about the old days. I said, I think the new days is about people, too.
Yeah, so I Had a Room was just a celebration of, like, getting back with your people and being thankful for it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's listen.
1, 2, 3. Had a room and it got crowded. Had a tooth and it got doubted. Had a soul and it got brighter. Had a roll and it got louder. Had a goal and it got crowded. Tried to tell you all about it. Every day, walking
try to bring everyone cheers. If you want to have silence, come to me now, please lend me your ears. Sliver and I in the madness, shining so bright, let's just go for the blues. Ring is so free in the planet, time and rhyme and it's freedom from you.
Once now, let me go.
too late for anything I'm altered. Predetermined fate. So you put your hands together, and this is what you made. Yet you know what you're owed again.
For Pete Rush, your last music for this edition. Chunk started off with Hush Drops doing I Had a Room. Then we had the Neighborhood Bass Coalition doing Dark Funk. Gary Lucas's Gods and Monsters with Glowworm. Schooner out of Canada, something live, Killer Rain. And then M Mountain Offensive, his brother Phil up in Mammoth. Blue Planet, going to see the world turn around. Finally, Monday. Hush Drop. I thought, you know, Monday's the start of the week. Why shouldn't it end the fucking show? So, your next, John, bring your next plans.
Oh, did you say my next plans?
Yeah.
Oh, right now, me and Jim Shapiro, the bass player from Hush Drops, we didn't do nothing for a while after Joe died, and I just thought, well, We're not gonna do nothing. That's I don't know how else to play music. Got real, depressed about it. And then we did a benefit show about half a year later, and I was like, you know what? It feels good to play. It feels good to play this music.
Yeah.
So we're back at it, and we've got some friends, various friends that are playing with us, and. I've still got other gigs. Actually, I play bass with this guy, Josh Caterer, who was on your show.
Yes.
So it's just, make myself available, stay available, stay hungry,
What about the politics of bass? You look good making other cats look good.
That's what it's all about, yeah.
I love it. I can't thank D. Boone's Ma enough for putting me on fucking bass when I was 12.
I believe in it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, you know, you can find Hush Drops anywhere on any of the platforms.
Is there a Hush Drops website?
You know, we don't have one. You know, I had one up, and it wasn't getting, you know, people were just going to Bandcamp and Facebook and what have you, so I said, fuck it. It just seemed like one more mouth to feed, really.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's kind of like a zine where at least there's no filter. Those other pads, yeah, those are telephone poles you can staple up flyers. But the thing
but
about
someone else's, yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's someone else's telephone pole, though, you're right.
Yeah, I don't own the telephone company yet.
Right, they can come take it down. Yeah, I don't know if I want that. Yeah,
I know. So I'm all into that. But there's something about, to me, the biggest parallel with a website is a zine, where nobody can tell you what you're going to put on it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I asked that question. Okay. So you and the bass man are going to keep on keeping on.
We're going to keep on keeping on. You know, we got, we've been recording again. You know, and it's, again, you know, I know, knowing what I know, of your own life and musical life, you know, I know it's a similar thing where, you know, there might be a moment where you think, oh, I ain't going to play no more. And then, at some point you realize, what am I talking about? This is, the most satisfying thing in the world.
Right with you, John. Right with you. Advice for somebody just wanting to get into music. And they don't have to be young.
Oh, by no means, yeah. You know, it's its own reward is the best thing I could say. You got to, you know, obviously find your people or don't, you know. I mean, if you want to play by yourself.
Man alone.
Yeah, do it alone. Yeah, that's the thing.
When you get the new Hush Drop stuff going, will you come back on the show and we could talk about it?
That would be a dream of mine, yeah.
Thank you so much, John, truly. It's been a big honor to have you aboard. Thank you so much. People, June 2, 2022 edition, Pedro, so keep your powder dry.